Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
As we get down to business this fall, wouldn't it be great to get off that financial treadmill, all those hours on the job, simply to keep up with the high cost of living? Frustrated in how your income never results in a growing investment portfolio sufficient to support desired lifestyle or fund retirement, in a volatile stock market, low interest rates, flat or declining commodity prices, how in the world do you build wealth? Well, my next guest today, Todd Dresiter, is a highly successful investment management industry entrepreneur, and he's here to tell us why conventional investment advice is all wrong. He has discovered a massive contradiction between the principles that led to his financial success and what is commonly taught and practiced, and he's here to help normal people like you and me achieve extraordinary financial results so we can get off the treadmill and lead joy-filled, stress-free lives of, as he calls it, contribution, satisfaction, and fulfillment. And Todd Dresiter is a serial entrepreneur since childhood, building many businesses, and he retired at age 35 as a hedge fund investment manager, net worth less than zero at age 23 to self-made millionaire at 35, and he's founder of Financial Mentor with a mission to educate business owners and individual investors on long-term wealth building and financial freedom, and he remains an active investor who earns consistent returns in both up and down markets. And like so many other mentors, he's not making the bulk of earnings by selling books and marketing financial advice to you. And Todd Dresiter sounds like the kind of person we should listen to. And hello, Todd, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thanks for having me on the show, Roy. And I just want to clarify one point in the intro. Very nice intro, thank you. I don't really believe that all investment, you know, conventional investment advice is wrong. The way I teach things is it built on top of that. It's a solid foundation, but there's more that can be understood.
I see. Well, what is the massive contradiction between the principles that led to your success and the common financial advice that the gurus dispense or maybe our own financial advisors?
Well, a central tenet of building wealth is risk management, and it's built right in the way the way money compounds. It's the math of how money compounds.
Yeah.
As it turns out, you know, gains and losses are asymmetric. In other words, the larger your loss, the much larger your gain in a geometric growth that you're required to get back to even.
Yes, so for example, I remember that from 2008. I spent a lot of time thinking about that.
Yeah. So, for example, a lot of people are familiar with it right now. So, for example, if you lose 10%, it only requires roughly 11.1% to get back to even.
Yeah.
But if you lose 50%, it requires 100% to get back to even.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking about. That stock market was diving in 2008.
Yeah, and that's just to get back to even. That's not even reality. You know, we're being generous when we're talking about getting back to even. You've got the costs of investing to overcome.
Yeah.
You've got taxes on gains to overcome.
Yeah.
You've got inflation to overcome. And if you're retired, you've got your spending to overcome in addition to the losses that occur.
Yeah, that's
and
very
so
true.
It's a very difficult game, much more difficult than is commonly understood once you really look at how all the cash flows play out. And so one of the principles I teach is that risk management is central to investing done right.
And what would you mean by risk management? I mean, it's a term most of us are familiar with, but in terms of investing in the market, what does that entail, really?
Well, in conventional investment strategy, the only risk management tool is diversification. Or I should say the primary risk management tool is diversification.
Yeah.
Now, diversification is valid, and that's why I was saying, you know, everything Todd is wrong. I don't believe
that.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have said that, actually.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to be clear because I don't want to offend people. It's not that it's wrong. It's just not everything you need to know, right? It's a half-truth. And so, you know, diversification is extremely valuable. It's a valuable tool that it fits the criteria of what I call expectancy investing, the investing I teach, in that it adds value in excess of cost. And so you want to do it. But it's only one risk management tool. And the thing about it is it only manages what's known as non-systematic risks, so non-market risks. So things like sector-specific risk or stock-specific risk you can manage through diversification.
Yeah.
But you're still completely exposed to market risk, which most research shows is 80-90% of the risk of investing.
Yeah,
and,
the market,
you know, personal experience will show that
together.
Too. For what's that?
I said the market all tends to go down together, so even if you're diversified, you're probably going to be hit when there's a big bear market or whatever. So
that's the fundamental problem, is diversification stands on the foundation or requires a foundation of non-correlation in order for it to add value.
Yeah.
And so the problem is in big bad bear markets, as you've correctly pointed out, everything goes down together. In other words, correlations rise towards one.
Yeah.
And so when correlations rise towards one, diversification fails to manage risk.
Yeah.
And so you have to have a way to manage market risk. And so that's just a very different principle, and it's not commonly taught.
Yeah. Well, in your promo, you promise not to offer get-rich-quick theories, but rather to teach us how to engineer our finances to take charge of our lives. And what do you mean by engineering your finances? I guess risk management is a big part of it, but there's really more to it than that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm known for that. You know, you can already hear it in the way I'm talking. I've got a very kind of scientific or engineered approach to all this. I don't teach anything that hasn't been proven out, that isn't based on research. And so, you know, a lot of people come to me and they'll have a goal, right?
Yeah.
They'll have a goal of, say, oh, I want to be a millionaire by in the next 5 years or whatever it is, right?
Yeah,
they'll have this goal.
Very ill-defined
goal
and pie in the
What's
sky
that?
Goal that doesn't really have any engineering to get there.
Yeah, a goal without a plan is just a dream.
Yeah.
Right? And so you have to engineer your way to achieve the goal. You have to design a plan based on sound principles that will allow you to reach that goal with reliability.
Amen. That's something that so many people lack when they, like you say, they come up with could be a realistic goal, but they never take the time to really design the plan to get there and consult the right parties and get the advice they need to fulfill that plan.
Yeah, many people spend more time planning their vacation than they do their personal finances.
Isn't that amazing? It's very true. But when you point out that success in finances most often goes together with success in other aspects of life, like relationships, parenting, health, work-life balance. And that seems counter to the common notion that the rich get ahead by stepping on others, hoarding their assets, and looking down on those less successful. Let's say that I don't like people, but I love wealth. Why can't I make big money while I'm overweight, sedentary, ignoring the kids, and divorcing my wife?
I like the way you asked that.
That's not true.
How you do the small things is how you do the large things. The way it works in reality is these are all stages on which we play out our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's relationships, your health, your finances, these are all different stages on which you're acting out.
Yeah.
And so how you act on one stage is how you act out on another. And the principles that apply to success on one stage are the same principles that apply to success on another. And so my experience is, yes, some people can get wealthy by being scoundrels. That's true. Business can be cutthroat. There can be some edgy stuff. But in the end, you have to add value in excess of cost. That's how business is done right.
That's true.
You know, you deliver value to people. And so what I like to point out is that if you want a powerful path of personal growth, just try to build wealth. Because I don't know anybody that succeeds building wealth that doesn't go through amazing personal growth in the process.
No, that's such a good point you make there. But Well, let's say that my spouse and I are both 46 years old. We earn a combined $80,000 a year. We're just, you know, throwing out some figures. We have a comfortable lifestyle but minimal savings, and we're deeply in debt, mortgage, car loans, credit cards. Three children, 10, 13, and 15, they all have good grades, and we want them to attend college. And we come to you for financial advice. Where would you suggest we start? You know, it seems like such a tremendous hurdle out there to begin to save and invest and gain that wealth. Where should we get started on something like that?
Well, the principles are simple. The implementation is difficult. So the principle is simple. You have to spend less than you earn, and then you save the difference and invest it wisely. So that's really everything you need to know about building wealth in one sentence. And, of course, there's nothing that anybody doesn't know in that sentence, but almost nobody implements it, and that's why very few people achieve wealth. And so the devil comes in the implementation. So if somebody came in with that, and that's not my normal profile of a coaching client, because coaching is very expensive. And so, if somebody came to me with that, you know, you'd start with get your expenses under control first, because it's the easiest, quickest place to go.
That's such
to try
a
to
good
create a spread between
you
what you were
starting.
I'm sorry, what?
I said that's such a good point. Rather than running out to speculate in the stock market or the Forex or whatever, you get your expenses under control in the first place.
Yeah,
so that you have some money.
Yeah, that's the most concrete thing. You have complete control over that. A lot of the other things you don't have complete control over, but your expenses you have complete control over.
Yeah,
and so you start with what you have control over, which is your expenses, and you work with that. But ultimately, there's only so much downside in expenses before you experience deprivation.
Yeah.
So you get it down to the point that your expenses align with your values, and I have a process I teach on that. Okay. And then what you do is you focus on income growth, and that's a longer-term process.
Yeah.
And then as you develop income growth, then that what that does is as long as you can continue to control your expenses, you create a widening spread between how much you bring in and how much you spend. All that funnels to savings, and then the next step after that is developing your investment skill for those savings.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a step-by-step process, and it mimics the 7 steps to 7 figures I teach on my website.
Oh, I see. No, that sounds great. But well, let's turn to a subject of particular interest to those of us in our 50s and 60s, and that's retirement. How do you determine, I'm not obviously asking specifics, but how do you determine how much money your spouse and you will need for retirement? And why do most estimates of how much you need cause you either to overspend and run out of money or underspend so that you never get to enjoy your savings and you don't have that great of retirement?
Yeah, I wrote a whole book on that, so it'd be hard to cover it all in the interview.
yeah,
so the book is How Much Money Do I Need to Retire? But in a nutshell, there are some rule of thumb guidelines that are practical for pointing true north.
Yeah.
So there's things like what we'll call the rule of 300, which is the part of the 4% rule, commonly known as the 4% rule, which is you can spend 4% of your assets adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
So 4% is then 25. 25 times 12 is 300. So basically the simple answer is for every $1,000 that you need to spend in retirement, you need roughly $300,000 or $400,000 if you want to be more conservative. That would be the 3% rule. You need between $300,000 and $400,000 in assets to support it. So that would be conventional wisdom. Now, with that said, that's what's known as the asset-based model. And that's one of the things I try to teach in the book is that there's really three approaches to understanding how much money you need to retire. There's an asset-based model, which is the conventional wisdom, and it's extremely limited because it's based on a long-term projection of assumptions, and these assumptions can't possibly be made realistically, so it's very limited into its accuracy, and yet it's what you'll get from almost any financial planner or any online calculator.
Yeah, like you
and
put
so,
garbage in, garbage
I'm sorry,
out.
Go ahead.
like you point out, garbage in and garbage out, it's so difficult.
I mean, they're just mathematical projections of assumptions. If your assumptions are wrong, then your numbers can be wrong. And there's certain key assumptions in that calculation. If you get those wrong, I mean, you can be wrong by a lot. I mean, we're not talking a little. You could need half as much as your estimate, or you could need 3-4 times as much as your estimate.
Ouch.
all it's really doing is pointing a direction or true north when you do an asset-based calculation, because there's no possible way you can know accurate assumptions.
Yeah. So what are the other other methods you can use other than the asset base?
Well, another approach is what I'll call lifestyle-based, where you start working with you take it in backwards and you say, what is the lifestyle I really want in retirement, the one that I really need, and how can I structure my expenses to support that lifestyle much more affordably? So, for example, maybe somebody truly loves fly fishing. That's their passion.
Yeah.
And so they can be perfectly happy traveling around full-time in a motorhome fly fishing the great streams of the nation.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You can do that really cheaply. Or international travel can be done very affordably as well.
Yeah.
You could do a full-time international travel quite affordably, more affordably than you can actually live in the United States, surprisingly. And so there's certain lifestyles that you can pursue that will allow you to retire earlier on less money. And so I call it lifestyle planning, and it comes in backwards to the numbers and is a way to substantially reduce the amount you need to retire. And then the third approach is a cash flow-based approach. When you think about it, an asset-based approach is kind of crazy because in the end, the assets are only useful to the extent you can convert them to cash flow that you can spend.
Very true.
And so the asset is almost like a second derivative, if you will. And if you want to go directly to the issue, it's cash flow. Now, cash flow doesn't require any of the crazy assumptions that an asset-based approach does.
Yeah.
And so a cash flow-based approach is much more stable and realistic. However, it's also harder to achieve.
Yeah.
And so I teach all three approaches, and it's the understanding of those three approaches together that gives you a complete picture of how much money you need to retire, and it's the only way to get a complete picture because each one gives you a different understanding of the situation.
Yeah, you mentioned there are five critical assumptions that can destroy your financial security. What are those?
Well, I think do you mean the five critical assumptions that can destroy your retirement plan?
Yeah, your financial security in retirement. That's what basically I'm
saying. Yeah, financial security in retirement. Okay, I just want to make sure I was clear. Well, let's take a couple of them. We could use inflation as one of the assumptions that you have to put in any retirement calculator, right?
Yeah.
And so you're supposed to project an assumption of inflation over the next 30 years for your retirement, or maybe the next 20 years prior to retirement and then 30 years thereafter. And, of course, it's the height of insanity when you think about it. There's PhDs who have studied this area, specialized in this field of economics, for their advanced studies, and they can't even get it right 1 year into the future. And here you are as a layman expected to project accurately 30 years into the future. Now, this is not just a small detail.
If you were doing that in 1979, you would be probably pretty far behind about 15% or something like that. And
And here's the thing about that. What you're pointing out is absolutely true, Roy, because if you're off, this is one of those key assumptions that compounds. There's certain key assumptions that I alluded to earlier that compound, and this is one of them. If you get this wrong and you're off by a couple percentage points, the compound effect on that in your overall retirement plan is not small. It's dramatic.
Yeah.
Like it's multiples of the number that you're showing on your estimate for how much money you need to retire. It's a huge big deal.
Yeah.
And then another one is your average investment return. You're supposed to project your average investment return, 30 years into the future. Well, that's fraught with problems because there's no way to know what your investment return will be 30 years into the future.
Yeah, some of the big public pension funds are way overstated in their estimated invention returns. I noticed that, or investment returns. I've noticed that recently that like some of the Illinois funds or something are estimating.
Oh, yeah. It's rampant that they completely misestimate the investment return of their portfolios. And these are pros. These are seasoned pros, MBA graduates, PhDs.
Yeah.
Their whole field of expertise is this. And here you are as a layman, and you're supposed to project this number. It's pure insanity. And again, this is one of those numbers that has a compounded effect.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on. Like, here's another assumption that has to go into your retirement calculation. It's your life expectancy.
Yeah.
Now, the traditional approach to that is they take an average life expectancy like you'd see in an insurance table or an IRS table.
Yeah.
And then if they're being conservative, they might vary it up or they might vary it down depending on your health condition.
Yeah.
But the point is that's pure insanity. You have no idea with any statistical validity when you're going to die, when your date with destiny is.
That's very true.
It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20 years from now. It could be 40 years from now. And they're all equally statistically valid because there's no statistical relevance to any one person's lifespan. It's only in the math that you get statistical validity. But the point is, in retirement planning, you're only dealing with one lifespan, your own, and your spouse's.
Yeah, nobody's
and
average.
So the idea of doing an average is pure insanity. It has no relevance to your specific needs.
That's very true. And that's why I guess you point out that it's very essential that you relook and update those projections periodically and don't just let them sit there.
Yeah, so what I teach is that even though there's all these problems with it, it's still a useful exercise.
Yeah.
Okay? You just have to understand that the number is not reality. What the number does is it points true north. It gives you a general sense of where you need to target your retirement plan.
Yeah.
And then what you will need to do is continually adjust it in a walk-forward basis as you move forward in time based on what the assumptions prove as true.
Yeah.
And so it's not a set-it-and-forget-it process. It's an iterative process.
Yeah.
And again, sure. The big problem is not retirement planning per se. It's how people treat it. They mistake the number for reality. And in fact, it's a useful tool.
So
you just have to use it wisely.
They look so good on paper when you've got these models that spit out. And I know you have calculators you offer on your website that allow people to do that kind of thing. But like you say, you have to be careful of what assumptions are going into it because they make a world of difference.
Yes.
Well, I visited your financialmentor.com website, and frankly, I've never experienced a site so packed with helpful information, and a lot of it's free. Tell us about some of the resources you offer on your site.
Yeah, so thank you. The site is financialmentor.com, and I give away, I give away a free book for new subscribers, and they can download it. I give away a free course called 52 Weeks to Financial Freedom, and no, it's not about get rich quick, but what it does is in a year it outlines all the principles you need for wealth building, so it's a very educational course. Free newsletter, I've got over 1,000 printed pages of content. I've got one of the largest collections of financial calculators in the online world, so just trying to be helpful and provide useful resources for people for wealth building.
And I notice you have 5 e-books on there that people can purchase. And tell us, now you mentioned that one, the 4% rule, safe withdrawal rates in retirement, and you've got one about variable annuities and how much money do you need to retire. So there's a couple of them there that specifically relate to retirement. And I like this one, don't hire a financial coach until you read this book. I think some of them probably aren't that worthwhile.
Well, each book has been written based on my experience of working with clients and finding holes in the marketplace where certain subjects aren't explained properly or covered properly. So, for example, the book you just mentioned, we just talked about how much money do I need to retire. Obviously, what I just espoused there, you don't hear anywhere else.
No.
Right? Usually you hear the conventional wisdom, and I'm trying to dispel the conventional wisdom and give a model that actually works.
Yeah.
Same thing with the variable annuity book. I had just multiple clients being ripped off by variable annuity salesmen, and they're very complicated investments to explain.
Years ago, I wanted to put a portion of the funds that I had in an international fund, a Goldman Sachs type fund, and put that at risk. And the other part, I wanted to put in a nice index fixed annuity. And this is my own stupidity, but the guy basically sold me a variable annuity. And he kept emphasizing the 7% guaranteed return, and I wasn't listening very closely because the 7% guaranteed return was only if you died.
Yeah.
And I lost him.
Yeah, these guys, it's a very common thing. You're not alone. These variable annuity salesmen, it's one of the most highly compensated investment products sold. That's why they're very aggressive in their sales on it.
Yes.
And if you look, it's my worst rated book. That's because variable annuity salesmen will give it 1 star. They try to pan it. And so it's, the people, the consumers that read it love it, and the variable annuity salesmen that read it give it 1 star.
Not surprised.
So I wrote that book as a consumer guide to variable annuities to try to help consumers from getting ripped off.
Yeah.
The financial coach book, same thing. I had clients coming from these kind of turnkey financial coaching programs that go on the tail end of New York Times bestselling authors.
Yeah.
They use coaching as a high-ticket upsell product from their books and their seminars.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a consumer's guide trying to protect people from all the scams in that area.
Yeah.
Each book has been a consumer's guide trying to help people, and it comes from my direct work with coaching clients and seeing where people need help.
Well, now you
so I'm just trying to give a cost-effective tool for the knowledge.
You yourself offer financial coaching. I don't know if it's through your website. How would somebody contact you and if they wanted to consider hiring your service as a financial coach? You offer
There's a section on the site specifically for financial coaching. So it's financialmentor.com /financial-coaching.
Oh,
and in that site is everything you need to know about coaching. There's all kinds of educational articles on how it works, what to watch out for, to understand if you're a good client for the process or not, if you're going to get more value than it costs you. So there's a lot of useful information there as well as how you can learn more about coaching with me.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, in conclusion, in introducing himself and his financial mentor services, Dr. Sitter hits the nail on the head. He said, the worthy goal of saving and investing is not accumulation of material possessions to impress someone else, but financial freedom to do as you please. And I might also add from personal experience, and Todd, I'm sure, would agree with me, that once you attain financial freedom, the freedom to choose, you will want to give back to others and bring others along to share the joy of life that you have. And that is why Todd is teaching others through his website, financialmentor.com, and frankly why I do this program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, because once you attain wealth, you'll be able to continue in your career if it brings you fulfillment and personal satisfaction, or you can retire from the job, not from life, to spend your time doing whatever pleases you. And that, in fact, is why I produce and host this program. And I highly recommend you explore Todd's financialmentor.com website and take advantage of his gifts and his invaluable resources. And you can indeed take charge of your finances and your life. As Todd puts it, the money is nice, but the inner transformation is the bigger reward. And I would say amen to that. And thank you so much, Todd Sitter, for your sound advice.
Thank you for having me on the show, Roy. I really appreciate it.
My guest today, Todd Dersiter, pointed out that success in finances most often goes hand in hand with success in other aspects of life, relationships, parenting, and health. He's found that from his successful clients over the year. And what that tells us is that accumulating wealth in and of itself is not really a worthy goal to have, is it? After all, we can't buy happiness in our career. We may be making a lot of money, but hate what we're doing in our marriages and families and in our retirement. It's far from easy, you know, to live as a wealthy person. I wish I knew that better, but I'm told that. Wealth in no way guarantees sustainable personal gratification. I can assure you of that. Not only might sudden wealth strain existing relationships, it also will create additional decision-making pressures, and it could tax the conscience. I'm certain that every Christian out there will recall the New Testament parable concerning the wealthy man, the camel, and the eye of a needle. You know, irresponsible heirs and lottery winners are notorious for squandering vast fortunes, ultimately winding up in circumstances worse off than where they began because they really weren't prepared for wealth. Similarly, more than a few mega-millionaire movie stars, sports heroes, and, quote, overnight sensations have encountered broken marriages, weekly psychoanalysis sessions, and lengthy drug rehab. Perhaps most pitiful are self-absorbed millionaires who foolishly hoard their wealth, fearing that somebody will take it away. Then they die at a fairly young age, and who knows where it goes. In following Todd's wealth-building suggestions, please keep in mind that accumulation of wealth never should be your primary concern. And once wealthy, the issue is not simply what you want to buy, but precisely how you wish to spend your time in the benefit of yourself and others. Basically, the freedom to choose is what wealth buys you. And this does not mean that you should ignore prudent financial planning. And if you enjoy risk-taking, you might actively manage an investment portfolio or develop or invest in a small business. In contrast, risk-averse winners may decide to turn their portfolios over to a bank trust department or a trustworthy financial advisor in order to dedicate full time and energy to those non-income generating activities which they most admire. And if you're looking to, or if you're listening to this program and are already independently wealthy, well, I'd say congratulations. You're one step ahead. You need not imagine financial freedom. You already have it. But along with the rest of us, you can still reflect upon the ideal path which you wish to follow, absent concern over your financial future, and think how great it would be to be able to spend the next hour, days, months doing precisely what you want to be doing rather than what somebody else tells you to do that you don't want to do. And one last secret for sustained joy, and I found this certainly to be true, commit time and resources to helping others while doing precisely what you enjoy doing. You know, it's a pure win-win situation, and it's totally okay to have fun while you're giving to others. In fact, that's the only way to have real fun, isn't it? Involved with others and giving to others. No one has that much fun just pleasing themselves. It may for a short period of time, but it doesn't last. And I assure you from personal experience that giving away produces far more sustained joy than simply receiving. And our guest, Todd Treseder's books and his website, financialmentor.com, offer excellent financial advice on all kinds of specifics of building wealth. And I would highly recommend you go to that website. But I also recommend that you check out my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. That's me. My book contains 18 chapters and 21 self-help exercises on every aspect of renewing your life at midstream. It covers all the different aspects from career to relationships to just changing your overall attitude from negative to positive. And it has all those exercises in there to make sure you get full benefit out of the book. And you can live a life of joy, abundance, and giving before and after you make that first million. And if you your goals are not making a lot of money and you don't mind living on a modest income, you can still enjoy life and feel great about it. And that's what the book talks about. And my book offers a comprehensive roadmap to first define and then accomplish the future of your dreams, be it wealth or be it whatever. And please check out my book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or on my website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And the book is available both in paperback and an electronic version. And if you go to my website, you will receive a free gift simply for the asking. That's MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And that's our program for today. Tune in next week. I'll interview an expert on the joys of giving who will give you a lot more good reasons why it's fun to give of yourself and your portion of your assets to help others. And also I'll talk with a woman who wore pink, not black, at the funerals of two departed husbands. Tune in to find out why on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. Bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com.